So good to be here again, worshiping the true and living God. So let's open this time with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank and we praise you for your wonderful presence in our midst. Lord, we pray that you would speak to each and every one of us. Pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to behold your wondrous truths in the Bible. Open our eyes to see Christ in the Word of God. Open our hearts so that, Lord, we will receive your Word and put it into practice. Speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, in this sermon series, Gospel Church, we are looking at the characteristics of the gospel church. So on the first Sunday, we looked at the first characteristic, which is holding true to the gospel. The gospel church holds true to the gospel. We looked at three foundational questions. What is the gospel? Why should we hold true to the gospel? And how should we hold true to the gospel? Christ Jesus has made us his own. He has begun a good work in us. Salvation is from the Lord. This is the gospel. And why should we hold true to the gospel? We should hold true to the gospel because we should not be carried away by the distorted view of the gospel. Not carried away by false gospels that are available everywhere. For example, we looked within the context of how some Jewish Christians insisted the Gentile Christians to be circumcised, putting confidence in the flesh. They said, Jesus is not enough. You need Jesus plus circumcision. Paul was not happy about it, and he warns the Philippians to be on guard against such people. Moreover, he clearly said, righteousness comes through faith in Christ and not through our confidence in the flesh. Righteousness comes through faith in Christ, not through our confidence in the flesh. Third question, how should we hold true to the gospel? We should hold true to the gospel by knowing Christ. We should know him intimately. We should hold true to the gospel by pressing on. We need to press on, strive, and pursue Christ. Last Sunday, we looked at the second characteristic of the gospel church, which is living in a manner worthy of the gospel within the church. The gospel church lives in a manner worthy of the gospel within the church. I made three observations from Philippians chapter 1 verses 27 through second chapter verse 30. Unity, number 2, humility, and number 3, self-giving. Simply put, the key to unity is humility, and the key to humility is self-giving. Towards the end, we briefly looked at Jesus' self-giving, Paul's self-giving, Timothy's self-giving, and Epaphroditus' self-giving as examples. Today, once again, we are going to look at the second characteristic of the gospel church, living in a manner worthy of the gospel. But the context is different. Last week, it was within the church, but this week it is outside the church. Please open your Bible at Philippians chapter 2 verses 12 through 16. Philippians chapter 2 verses 12 through 16. Verse 2 starts with therefore. Since it starts with therefore, it is always good to go back to the preceding paragraph or verses. If we closely look in the previous paragraph, we notice verse 1 starts with so. So, we need to look at the previous paragraph. Previous paragraph starts with verse 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, we see a connection between chapter 1, verse 27 and chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, because of therefore and so. Let me read chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. While this passage has five verses, I just want to focus on verses 14 through 16. You may ask why. The concept in verses 12 and 13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to act for his good pleasure, reoccurs in chapter 3, verses 7 through 14, and we looked at that on the first Sunday under holding true to the gospel. So our focus is going to be on the verses 14 through 16. Living in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church requires proper conduct, gospel living. And Paul describes proper conduct with two clauses. Number one, you will notice that in verses 15 and 16, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. These two clauses unpack two important questions. A what question and a how question. Number one, what does it mean to live in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church? And number two, how to live in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church? Number one, what does it mean to live in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church? Number two, how to live in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church? In the remaining time here, we are going to look at these two questions. First question, what does it mean to live in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church? Living in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church is nothing but shining as lights in the world. Shining as lights in the world. This is taken from the first clause. Shining as lights in the world clearly describes the condition or the nature of the world in which the Philippians lived. Shining as lights in the world clearly says that it was a darkened world. This is common sense. Where do we need the presence of lights? In the dark place, right? We don't need any additional lights inside the sanctuary because this is already lit up. Philippians, they lived in a darkened world. And Paul writes to them, you need to shine as lights in the world. I'm sure Paul would have written shining as lights in the world with the understanding of the world being dark. But Paul has more to offer in this verse. He writes about the nature of people who live in the world. Look at verse 15. You may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You shine as lights in the darkened world, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Crooked and twisted generation. Does this ring a bell to you? Who has been described as a crooked and twisted generation in the Bible? The Israelites. You're right. Deuteronomy 32:5. They have dealt corruptly with him. Here they refers to the Israelites. They are no longer his children because they are blemished. They are a crooked and twisted generation. The Israelites. Are you taken by surprise with this analysis? Do you remember this? The Israelites are God's treasured possession among all the people. Kingdom of priests and a holy nation. They are called to be a light to the nations. They were given the law. They were given the sacrifices. They were given the cloud of God's presence in the temple. They were given kings, prophets, priests. They were chosen to confront the idolatries of the surrounding nations. Sadly, Israel's history shows its failure to be a light to the nations. Instead of being a light, the Israelites have been overcome by darkness. Instead of confronting the idolatries of the surrounding nations, the Israelites have been overcome by idolatries. This is not the end of the story. The light of the world, Jesus Christ, came into the darkened world, lived a blameless, innocent, unblemished life in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. The light of the world, Jesus Christ, defeated the darkness of the world on the cross by bearing the 3-hour midday darkness, the judgment, the wrath, the sins of the world. The light of the world, Jesus Christ, overcame the darkness, the sin, the death, Satan, by rising again on the third day. As a result of this, for God who said, let light shine off out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Praise be to God. But the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. Have you seen the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ? Have you experienced personally the light of the gospel? If not, would you give yourself to him today? Would you turn to him in faith and repentance? In the Old Testament, God's chosen people are called as a crooked and twisted generation. Here in Paul's letter to the Philippians, God's chosen people are called as beloved, saints, and others are called as crooked and twisted people. Living in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church is to shine as lights in the world in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Shine as lights in the world. Do you remember? Jesus spoke about this truth. To his followers, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." In the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. This is Paul to the Philippians. You are the light to the world. This is Jesus to his followers. Clearly, the latter, that is Jesus' description, you are the light of the world, is not imperative. It's not a command to follow. It is indicative. It means Christ followers are the light of the world. Christ followers are described as the light of the world. How about you shine as lights in the world? Is this imperative? Is this a command or an indicative? Based on Jesus' description and also based on how Christian living is emphasized in the New Testament, we can come to a conclusion that this is again an indicative. It's not an imperative. In the New Testament, Christian conduct or Christian living is emphasized as what we already are. What we already are. Paul wants to communicate to the Philippians, you are Christians and so you are shining lights in the world. So far, we have looked at the first question. What does it mean to live in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church? Living in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church is nothing but shining as lights in the world. We have observed the nature of the world, darkened world. We have observed the nature of the people who live in this world, crooked and twisted, and also the nature of the verse which is indicative. Let's look at one more observation, that is the nature of the Christian life, verses 14 and 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. The Israelites did, not once or twice, repeatedly, the Israelites grumbled against God and grumbled against Moses. And that is why they were called as crooked and twisted generation. But Paul writes to the Philippians, you no longer do all things with grumbling or disputing. Why? Why do all things without grumbling or disputing? So that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish. Paul says here, you better be careful. Otherwise, you will also become like the Israelites. Paul here exhorts that the Philippians may be blameless, innocent children of God without blemish. But in the first chapter, Paul prays for the same reason. If you turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, we read, "It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. It's not only writing to the Philippians so that they will be pure and blameless. It is his prayer, Paul's prayer to this church, that they will be holy, pure, blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Pure and blameless. Pure here means transparent purity, openness, living without hypocrisy. Blameless here means utter blamelessness, cannot find any sin or wrongdoing. What does it mean to live in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church? Living in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church is nothing but shining as lights in the world. What is the nature of the world? Darkened world. What is the nature of the people who live in this world? Crooked and twisted. What is the nature of the verse? Indicative. It's not imperative. What is the nature of the Christian life? No grumbling, no disputing, blameless, innocent, unblemished life. Do you think we live in a better world than the Philippians? Absolutely not. We live in a fantasy world, world filled with sensory experiences, much darkened world. Do you think we live with better people than the Philippians? Absolutely not. We live with selfish people. People are increasingly isolated, fragmented, and polarized. Do you think shining as lights in the world is not relevant today? Absolutely not. This is part of who we are as Christians. This is our identity. Shining as lights in the world, it's our identity. What would the non-Christians in your workplace or in your neighborhood think about you? Do you live in such a way that the non-Christians are drawn to the gospel, or do you live as a stumbling block? Do you bring honor to God's name, or shame and dishonor to God's name? Let us do nothing out of grumbling or disputing. Rather, let us do everything with thanksgiving. Never forget this. Gratitude is a great attitude. Let the world see how grateful we are. Let the world see how thankful we are. Let the world see how appreciative we are. Let the world see how encouraging, affirming we are. In the world filled with fantasies and sensory experiences, let us live with transparent purity and utter blamelessness. Let the world see how unblemished we are. Let us live in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church by shining as lights in the world, so that those outside the church may see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. Is this overwhelming to you? Do you think that this is demanding? Unpacking the second question, that is, how to live in a manner worthy of the gospel, may give you some encouragement. Philippians 2 verses 14 through 16 again. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. You shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. This is an encouragement. Holding fast to the word of life. What does Paul refer to the word of life? Does Paul refer the word of life to the gospel? Or Paul refers word of life to the word of God? Some say that Paul refers the word of life to the gospel, and others say Paul refers it to the word of God. But this is not a contradiction, because we know the word, Jesus, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and this is the gospel. Since we already looked at holding true to the gospel on the first week, I want you to consider the word of life as the word of God. Why holding fast to the word of life, that is the word of God? 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 through 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, this is important, equipped for every good work. The word of God equips us to live in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church. Isn't this encouraging to you? Here is another word of encouragement. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 to 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. In other words, word of God. So that through them, through the word of God, you may become partakers of the divine nature, which is transparent purity, utter blamelessness, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful nature, sinful desire. The word of God equips us to live in a manner worthy of the gospel. Here we see the word of God grants us all things to live in a manner worthy of the gospel. Can you imagine this? Why in the world that you would want to separate yourself from the word of God and try to live in a manner worthy of the gospel by your own strength? Apart from the word of God, we certainly cannot live in a manner worthy of the gospel. We are honored and privileged to have the Bible in our hand. The Bible we have is more extensive than Paul's or the Philippians. It contains everything we need to live in a manner worthy of the gospel. Above all, we have the Holy Spirit to give us understanding of what has been written, as well as the ability to apply it to specific area of our lives. Do you have hunger and thirst for God's word? Do you behold God's word? Last week we talked about beholding God's glory in Christ. Do you behold God's glory in God's word? The psalmist prays, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." That I may behold. Not just superficial reading, not just superficial glancing, but beholding. We need to take time to read, study, meditate, memorize the word of God and apply it in our everyday life. You may say to yourself and even to others that you are busy. I have no time. Someone said, we are busier now than we were a year ago, and we will be even busier next year. I will repeat. Someone said, we are busier now than we were a year ago, and we will be even busier next year. unless we are intentional, we can't make it. Andrew Bonar, a minister of a free church in Scotland and also a contemporary of Robert Murray McShane, wrote in his diary, "By the grace of God and by the strength of the Holy Spirit, I desire to lay down a rule, not to speak to man until I have spoken with God, not to do anything with my hand till I have been upon my knees, not to read letters or papers until I have read something of the Holy Scriptures." I will repeat, by the grace of God and by the strength of the Holy Spirit, I desire to lay down a rule not to speak to man until I have spoken with God, not to do anything with my hand till I have been upon my knees, and not to read letters or papers until I have read something of the Holy Scriptures. Letters or papers in those days, now emails, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, blogs. Do you have a regular discipline of reading the Word of God? If yes, keep the good work. If not, why don't you start today? I bet you won't have any regrets. I just want to wrap up today's sermon. We have looked at two questions today. One is, what does it mean to live in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church? And the second one, how to live in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church? To live in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church, it is to shine as lights in the world. And how you do it? By holding fast to the word of God. Let's pray. The gospel church holds true to the gospel. The gospel church lives in a manner worthy of the gospel inside the church. The gospel church lives in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church. Shining as lights in the world, this is our identity. So that those who are outside this church will come to know Christ through our word and deed. How good we are doing that. You may think that this is demanding, but no, because God has given His word to us, the word of God. And if we hold to it with the strength of the Holy Spirit, with His help, this is possible. Father God, thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, and thank you for helping us to understand one more characteristics of the gospel church. I pray that this church will be a gospel church. This church will hold true to the gospel. This church will live in a manner worthy of the gospel inside the church. This church will live in a manner worthy of the gospel outside the church, living as lights in this darkened world. Pray, Lord, that we will never become an hindrance for the gospel, but we will be able to draw people to Christ through our word and deed. Help us to do this by holding fast to the word of God, the living and active word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.